by the cross. Depends upon what you've done with Jesus and your trust in him and in him only. But not only is it God's will that ye are born again, but it's also God's will that your spirit filled. And it doesn't mean that you need to get more of the Holy Spirit, because as soon as you know the Lord is your personal Savior, you have as much of the Holy Spirit as you'll ever get. The question is how much of you does the Holy Spirit control? Does he control every part of your life, or maybe just a part of it? Maybe everything but this little room. No, he wants to be a part of all of our lives, not to allow something to overtake us, but rather to be led by the Holy Spirit. Because there are some things in this world today that control us. Oh, I know some people think, no, that doesn't control me. I could quit at any time. You know, for instance, smoking. People think, you know, that certainly controls people. Alcohol controls people. And think, oh, I could quit at any time. No, no, no. You ask Will. I'm sure he would share with you that it's not easy to quit, especially when it comes to smoking, right? It's just not easy. That takes a lot of work. And he's working on that. And we praise him for that. But that takes work. It takes hard work because it's controlling. And we don't want to be controlled by some other substance. We want to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. He wants every part of our lives. You know, the Holy Spirit, you know, just like you don't like being in a room full of smoke, the Holy Spirit doesn't like being in a room full of smoke either. And so we don't want to be controlled by something other than the Holy Spirit. Give God what is right, not what's left. Let him have all of us. Never give the devil a ride. He will always want to drive. And he will drive. He will control. And I like this one. Give Satan an inch and he will become a ruler. We don't want other things to rule our lives. We want the Holy Spirit to rule and reign in our lives. So you must be born again. That's God's will. And you know, there are some people who've chosen to ignore God's will, chosen to ignore God's love, and have chosen, rather than to accept him as their personal Savior, to reject him. And our hearts are broken. Our hearts break when we have loved ones and friends who've chosen to reject the Savior. So first of all, the will of God is that you're born again, that you are spirit-filled, and then how about this one, that you are set apart. Vessels set apart for the glory of God. Forbidden fruit creates many jams. In other words, we are to be set apart vessels that God can use. And I used, what was it to illustrate this last week? What was the illustration I used? Yeah, Jane's going like this. A toothbrush, right? You're think about where your toothbrush is. It's not in the garage, so Dad can use it to clean the pots or to clean the bearings from the trailer or the ATV. And it's certainly not in the bathroom or the kitchen, so Mom can use it to clean the pots and pans from the lasagna the night before. Your toothbrush is set aside, set apart for one purpose, to brush your teeth. That's its purpose. And that's the same thing with the saint. The same thing with the believer. We are to be set apart for one purpose, to glorify the Savior. And when we're not glorifying him, we lose our fellowship with God. He wants fellowship with us. He wants us to serve him and to live for him. And yes, don't put a question mark where God puts a period. Scripture is so clear on certain areas where people think, oh, that's your interpretation. No, that's what God says. Don't put a question mark where God puts a period. And then number four, God wants us to be law-abiding, to follow the law, to be lawful, not to be quick to break the law, even though we think, oh, that's not an important law anyway. No, it's important. I remember a friend years ago. I grew up in Rapid City, South Dakota, and my friend worked at Ellsworth Air Force Base. And he worked out there in the flat part of South Dakota. I mean, it's flat. And they have all the missile silos there. And so you could see for 10, 15 miles. And so he was running down this road. It was when the corn was already picked. There was no corn out. He could see traffic for 5 miles coming along the road. And he was headed straight west. And there was a road going north and south. And he could see for miles that there was nobody coming. So he got to the stop sign and he just went zipping right through it. Nobody's coming anyway. Why stop? He gets 15 miles down the road and a police officer pulls him over. And he says, "Officer, why did you pull me over?" He said, "Did you see that stop sign about 15 miles back?" "Yeah, but nobody was coming. Nobody was there to see anything." He said, "Well, nobody sees this ticket either, and here it is." He thought, "There's nobody coming. Well, what's so important about this stop sign? It doesn't need to be there." And he just zipped right through it and got a ticket anyway. No, we need to be law-abiding. It's not a very good testimony trying to witness to somebody and we're not law-abiding and keeping the law. Set apart, law-abiding, and how about this one? Faithfully committed. Faithfully committed. That deals with suffering, persecution. Sometimes it's God's will. In fact, he's glorified through it all. Just like Job. Just like the man born blind. The Pharisees asked him who sinned, and God says, "No, nobody sinned. This man was born blind to reveal the glory of God." Listen to this. A lot of kneeling will keep you in good standings. And this one, worry is the dark room in which negatives are developed. That's for us older folks. And then God promises a safe landing, not a calm passage. So there are a few things that we can know about the will of God. That you must be born again, spirit-filled, set apart, law-abiding, and faithfully committed to the Lord. No matter what happens, no matter what situation we find ourselves in, God is in control. And we put that all together and seek God's direction in our lives. He will direct. He will direct in our lives. He'll help us to see that next step as we seek his face, as we read his scripture. We live a life while pleasing and glorifying to God, set apart, vessels that God can use, totally committed to him, seeking to praise his name. Well, we're going to look at five messages that cover each one of these. The first one is you must be born again, right? Now, I could go to John chapter 3, talk about Nicodemus. Or we could go to other places as well, talking about people like the Ethiopian eunuch. But I want to turn to Acts chapter 16, and we're going to look at what is called the Macedonian call. Now, we sang about that this morning. I mean, God always knows. He just puts it right there. He got it all placed together. He works it out. But let's look here at the Macedonian call. And we want to begin here in Acts chapter 16, and I'd like to begin reading at verse 6. Acts chapter 16 and verse 6. Here's Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas, and they're seeking for God's direction in their lives. They want to know, is God interested in us? And you know, they just got the education. They saw Christ. He conquered the grave. He arose. He ascended on high. And they know who Christ is, and they're excited. They've been preaching, and they just want to be used of God. It's kind of like a Bible college student just getting out of college, filled up like a sponge, and they just want to go somewhere and minister and just let the sponge squeeze out and share all that neat information. They were excited. They wanted to be used of God. But look at what happens in Acts chapter 16 and verse 6. Now, when they had gone throughout Persia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. They were forbidden. Here they are, they're seeking the direction of the Holy Ghost, looking forward to ministering in Persia and the regions around in Galatia. But God forbade them and said, "No, this isn't where I want you to be. This isn't the right direction." And you know how they knew? Because they're spirit-filled. Because they knew Christ as their Savior. They were law-abiding. They wanted to be right where God wanted them to be, seeking his direction, allowing God to work in their hearts. But God shut the door. Have you ever seen God shut a door? Yes. Oh, yes. Many times. Look at verse 7. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not and said, "Nope, that's not where we want you to be. Nope, we got another place for you." And they kind of turned them around, kind of switched gears again. And verse 8, and they passing by Mysia came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. In other words, come to my people. There are people here, they need to hear about Jesus. They need to hear the word of God. You need to come. They sought them to come, the Macedonian call. Come, will you please come and help us? We need to hear the gospel. They need to come and share with others what Jesus Christ has done for them. They need hope in the Savior. They need to hear the gospel. Will you please come? Come. And they urged them. They pleaded with them. Please come and share with them what Jesus Christ has done for them. You need to come to Macedonia. This is the place to be. We want you to come. Be a part of our community and jump in and share with others the hope that they can have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what they did. Come to my people. And you know, when we seek God's direction and God's way, he will reveal it to us. Being set apart, vessels that can be used of God, seeking God's direction, praying for his leading, following the law, listening to what God's word has to say, separated and as servants, vessels that God can use. And God used Paul and Silas to come to Macedonia to share with them the truth of what God's word has to say. That Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came, the Messiah, the one that we're longing for, has come and crucified that we might have hope, hope in the Savior. Come to my people. But not only do we see come to my people in this Macedonian call, but look at this in verse 11 of Acts chapter 16. In fact, verse 10, it says, and after he had seen the vision immediately, he didn't wait. Immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. The gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And you remember what the gospel is, that Jesus Christ came to earth, that he died on the cross for our sin, that he was buried, but he didn't stay in the grave, right? He arose, ascended on high, and he's coming again. I like that part. He's coming again. It could be today. Could be tomorrow. It could be at any time. That's the gospel. That's what he came to proclaim. Verse 11, therefore, loosing them from Troas, ye came with a straight course to Cenchrea, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is in the chief city of that part of Macedonia and colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto those things which were spoken of Paul. He shared with them the gospel. Now look at Lydia. The Bible shares with us that she was a seller of purple. Now, a seller of purple, she had to have been very, very wealthy. In order to make this purple, they go to the seashore and they get seashells, little snails. And they take these snails and they smash them. I mean, any young man would enjoy that. Flying everywhere. They would squish them and they would get this bucket full of seashell snail guts. And they would fill this bucket up full of all these guts. And they would take them down into a cellar at the right temperature and let them ferment. I mean, it would stink. Oh, would it stink. And they would get that stinky, yucky, old, gross, and they would dye this fabric. And it would turn into a very lush, beautiful purple. The only problem with this beautiful purple, and as you dye this fabric, it would stink. Oh, did it stink. And the only people that could afford this garment that had been dyed in this purple dye were the very wealthy and very rich. And that's where the phrase stinking rich comes from. She was a seller of this purple. And she would sell this dye. She was very, very wealthy. And the Bible shares with us that Paul and Silas comes along and shares with them the wonderful news of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Shared with her the hope that she had in the Savior who came and died for her sin that she might have eternal life. And look at what she does. Look at what she does here in verse 14. It says, "And a certain woman named Lydia, she was a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, hearing us, whose heart the Lord opened. She was open to the gospel, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of by Paul. And when she was baptized," in other words, she came to know Jesus Christ as her Savior. She believed that Christ died for her. She believed in him, and she wanted to be an outward sign of what Jesus Christ has done within. She wanted to work out what God in his grace had already worked in, set apart for the glory of God. And so she wanted to be baptized. So she was baptized in her household. She brought us saying, "If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house." Not only do we see "come to my people," but "come to my house." She was a very wealthy woman. The Lord had worked in her heart. She came to know Jesus Christ as her Savior, as well as many in her home. And she said, "I want to be a part of what God's doing. I want to be a part of those who come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. I want to financially add to your ministry. I want to give you a place to stay. So while you're here ministering and while you have a part in my community, I have a place where you could stay. I have a room here that you could stay in, or maybe a cottage house next to their property, or whatever it was. I want you to come to my house." She wanted to take part in what God was doing. She was set apart for the glory of God. She said, "I want to be a servant of the Lord. God has blessed me. God has given me far beyond what I ever expected. God's blessed me, and now I want to be a part of the ministry here in Macedonia. I want to see people come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior." And God blessed her. God blessed her. The Bible shares with us here, "And abide there, and she constrained us." She said, "You got to stay. This is where you need to be. I'm going to be a part. I want to be a blessing to you. You've been a blessing to me. I want to be a blessing to those around me. I want to see people come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Not only come to my people, but also come to my house." But listen to this one, the third point. It begins here in verse 16. "And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, possessed with a spirit of deviation, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying." She was an interpreter of dreams, and demons were filling her heart and mind, and able to interpret and able to give forth future events. And so here she is, she's there in the ministry and the meetings that Paul and Silas had. "The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." Now, wait a second. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Wow. Hey, here's somebody coming along and proclaiming, "Hey, we're servants of the Most High God, and we show unto you the way of salvation." But hold it. Wait a second. Hold it. What she was doing was, they serve the same God that I serve. Do you get the twist? These people are proclaiming the way of salvation, but that's what I've been telling you all along. But that wasn't true. She was a servant of Satan. She was a servant of all the demons and demonology and the occult. And so this started to develop a problem. Everybody around thinks, hey, you know, they believe the same thing that we do. You know, if they're going to heaven, so are we. You know, it really doesn't matter what church you go to. Everybody believes the same thing. Do you see the message given? But that's not true. Not every church in America believes the same thing. Not everybody believes that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he is Savior, and that salvation is by faith and faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the message Paul and Silas was sharing. But here comes this damsel saying, hey, they believe the same thing we do. But Paul says, no, this isn't right. Verse 17, "The same followed Paul, servant to the Most High God, in verse 18, and this did she many days, but Paul being grieved, saying, this isn't right, this isn't right, they're getting the wrong message, this isn't the message that we have, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her, and he came out the same hour. He was gone. That demon was cast out. So now everybody's happy and content. Wow. Paul and Silas, they share with us that they're not serving the true and living God. Hey, let's listen to what Paul has to say. Let's trust in Christ and Christ alone. But that's not what happened. Because the people who owned this damsel were a little upset. You know, you try to stop people from earning ill-gained profit from something false. You try to stop that, you're going to make people pretty upset. And that's exactly what happened. These men who were getting this ill-gained profit started to realize, hey, they just ended our income. How are we going to make the big bucks now? He just destroyed it. So since their income was destroyed, since their lives were destroyed, they decided they're going to destroy Paul and Silas's testimony and reputation very quickly. Well, look at verse 19. And when her master saw that the hope of their gain was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace onto the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men being Jews do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs, that is, customs of Israel, that they thought, hey, that's not for us. In fact, it's even been illegal for them to preach. But that's not what he was sharing. He wasn't telling them about circumcision, the Jewish way. He was trying to share with them about Christ and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrate rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison, not just the prison, but the inner prison, down dark, deep dungeons, and made their feet fast in the stocks. Whoa! Look at the terrible things they did to them just because they did not agree with Paul and Silas and the fact that they took away their ill-gotten gain. Let's see if I can find some information here. I want to share something with you. Let's see here. Spirit of Epiphanes means among the Greeks a prophetic spirit. Epiphanes being one of the names of Apollo, the god of prophecy, the superhuman demoniac. And there's nothing that inflames the rage of men more than to see the hope of their ill-gotten gain taken away. In our country, more than one man has fallen a victim to the rage of rum sellers who have seen their hope of gain taken away. The magistrates are Roman officers, two in number, called timavari or praetors, influenced by the outcry of the throng. And this is what I was looking for. These men being Jews, and Claudius Caesar expelled all Jews from Rome and refers to the fact of breaking of the law, and they made it law that they could not proclaim the custom of circumcision. And so that's what these men were referring to, preaching about things that they're not to be preaching. Caesar, Claudius Caesar, has expelled the Jews and expelled their beliefs and what they had to say. And therefore, they proclaimed that they were breaking the law, that they need to be bound, they need to be thrown into prison. And that's exactly what they did, threw them into prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Boy, what a time to be discouraged, a time to complain, a time to say, well, Man, we were serving the Lord and God was blessing. He come to my people and come to my home, and we had a place to stay. It was so clear that God was working in lives and people's lives were being changed. And, you know, what did we do wrong now? And now they're thrown into prison. And in the stocks, you know, they had no restroom break. They were tired. They were hurting. Possibly they were unconscious after the beating that they received. And they woke up in this dreadful, dark, wet, damp, terrible prison. Wow, what a time to complain. But Paul and Silas knew God must have a purpose for this. There must be a reason. And so what did they start to do? They didn't complain. They began to sing songs, praising the Lord. Look at verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. Could you imagine? Here they are locked in stocks in the most inner, dark, drudge, oh, damp, terrible place down below, as deep as they could be, in the prison, in stocks. And here they are praying and praising God, singing songs. I bet some of the prisoners up above were kind of jumping on the floor. Hey, down there, would you be quiet? I'm trying to get some sleep. But here they are singing praises and rejoicing in the Lord. And as they're singing praises and sharing with everyone what Christ has done for them and the hope that they had, the ground begins to shake and an earthquake strikes. It says in verse 26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundation of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, this man here, a Roman, being a keeper of the prison, well, at least hired by the Romans, keeper of the prison, comes running out of his home, expecting everyone to be gone. Listen to what he's going to do. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself. In other words, he knew that being hired by the Romans, that if any of the prisoners got away, they would draw him to the center square and they would execute him and his family. They were dead men. But Paul, he cries out. Listen to this. He was supposing that all the prisoners have fled, but Paul cried out with a loud voice saying, "Do thyself no harm." Paul knew exactly what he would do. He couldn't see. In fact, later on it says, then he called for a light. He couldn't see anything. But he knew exactly what this man would do. He knew exactly that he would execute himself. And Paul cries out and says, "Do yourself no harm. We are all here." And this is why the persecution occurred. Look at verse 29. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And you know what Paul and Silas did? Well, they scratched their head and they said, "Wow, that's a good question. Never thought of that one before." No, not at all. Paul and Silas had the answer. Look at what it says in verse 31. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." They knew exactly what he was going to tell them. It was within his heart, set apart to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. It was his desire to serve the Lord. He went through that persecution, went through that difficult time, not because he was a sinner, but to glorify God. Come to my people. Come to my home. As he leads these men to the Lord, it says here in verse 32, and they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. So they took care of Paul. They took care of him in Silas, took care of their wounds and where they hurt and dressed them. And not only that, but listen to verse 34. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God and all his house. Listen to this. The Macedonian call, come to my people. Come to my home. And last of all, come to my table. He introduced people to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and God met their needs. God met their needs. And God always will do just that. But the first question today is this. Have you ever come to the Savior? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Could you ask the same question that this jailer asked? What must I do to be saved? Have you ever asked that question? Have you ever sought out what God's word has to say? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, today is the day of salvation. Don't turn him away. Don't turn him away. It's God's plan, God's will, that ye must be born again. If you're here without Christ, you're outside of God's will. He wants you to be his child. Will you trust in him today? Will you accept him as your personal Savior? Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the word of God today. And as we look at Paul and Silas and how you use them in this Macedonian call, Father, we could look at so many other places when it comes to salvation and to be born again. Some of them we've already looked at in the past, but today you led me to the Macedonian call. That Paul and Silas was set aside, set apart for one purpose, to glorify you and to share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Use this message in our hearts today. And Father, maybe today I'm only speaking to the saints. Maybe I'm preaching to the choir today. But Father, not only to urge people to trust Christ their Savior, but also to urge the saints to be actively involved in reaching out to the lost, realizing that you will meet our needs, that you will give us strength and guidance as we seek and strive to reach out to those who are lost. Father, use this message in hearts and ways that I can't, that your name will be glorified today with every head bowed and every eye closed. My friend, if you're here today without Christ, the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Not only a message to those of you that are here in the auditorium, but also those of you that are on the internet. Maybe you're here today listening to this message and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. I want you to know that it's God's will that you trust in him. Call upon the name of the Lord, that if thou shalt call upon the name of the Lord, thou shalt be saved. Don't turn him away. Don't ignore him. What a time in the world that we live in of struggle and pain and anguish and questions that we don't know the answers to all around us in the world today. But we can bank on the fact that Jesus Christ is who he claims to be, the Son of God who's come to take away the sins of the world. Will you call upon his name today? Trust in him, my friend. Don't reject him. Father, I pray that you'll save the soul nearest hell today. That your name will be glorified. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Kevin, you come. I'm losing all my stuff.
Oh, that better? 155. Here we go. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still, verse 2, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now. As in thy presence, humbly I bow. On the last, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only, always living in me. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Please bow your hearts. Father God, we thank you so much for Sunday school and for the message this morning. Thank you for the freedom and the ability to come in here and to keep us all safe. Please be with us throughout the rest of this next week, Father. Keep us safe. Help us to be the salt and light of the earth for you. And just thank you for choosing us to be a vessel where you can get your work done. And we appreciate all that. Thank you for all the wonderful music and the fellowship we had today. And bring us back tonight, Father, for church. And we ask this in your precious name. Amen. You are dismissed.